Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. It is 8:06 on the clock. We hope you're having a great Friday Eve out there.
Woohoo! Finally.
We got some fun stuff to get to this hour. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. Looking forward to getting into that. We will touch on a couple of other things. Do you have a celebrity doppelganger? We're going to get into that yet. We got a couple of other fun ones we'll touch on, too. Looking forward to it. Right now, I want to get into this with you, Terry. Studies have shown hand gestures make you more convincing. For example, entrepreneurs are more likely to get funding if they use them while pitching an idea. And we've seen every single politician in history, like, some are just naturally at it.
They just, as you just fling your pen to me.
I didn't, yeah. Because I'm probably the last person in the world that should be doing this topic. I literally can't even breathe without using a hand gesture, so let alone doing any of this. So two things to keep in mind. One, I'm not picking on anybody that does do any of these because I'm very probably guilty of all of them. I have not looked ahead at this article. I wanted to be surprised with you about this. So, but I also know that it's one of those things that they've literally, like, they teach classes about to not just politicians, but to anybody in the public eye that wants to, you know, be more effective. And then you put the hands together and stuff with the thumb over it, and you do this and stuff. And there's little things, pounding on the desk when you want your point to be heard. Like, these things that I think are a little ridiculous when you look at them on their surface, but they do have some effect.
And they can be very convincing.
Yeah, yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that it is. I don't think that it has made people get elected, but I have no doubt that it has helped people get elected. I think especially when it comes to somebody who may not be the greatest at public speaking, but they are very good with their hand gestures, or they have some charisma or something like that.
But as to the power of persuasion, right? Even think about it from the, like, you're in a school speech class, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Or if you've been to a training or a seminar, you know what I mean? Where someone is up in front talking to you or with you.
Yeah.
But if they're just, what if they just stood there behind the podium and never moved? I mean, you check out at some point.
You would. I took speech in high school. I've taken a couple of other courses about public speaking. And it's one of the first things they tell you. Don't put your hands in your pocket. Like, not obviously not literally,
right.
But don't.
Or not literally.
Yeah. and if you are a person that doesn't use your hands to speak, so basically you're not Italian. I'm joking. I'm kidding. I could say that joke. It's one of those things where you want to incorporate it into your speech. You want to, like, your literal speech that you're giving, not saying necessarily your day-to-day life, but they do encourage people to do those things. Another big one they do is how big was the fish you caught? This big, like using the outstretched arms and that. I have to be careful doing that because I will knock things over. I have a huge wingspan. So looking at these, here are five of them that can make you more persuasive. Holding your fingers in a precision grip. So your thumb touches your middle or index finger. It signals that you're revealing a key detail and need to pay attention. We've seen, I can't think of any, like, in particular, like, one particular politician that did this or anything, but a number of them I've seen do it.
I think
it.
I actually just did it to you a few minutes ago. But when I was talking, I was like,
It's one of those ones we do. It's especially if we don't like pointing. Like, if you're not, like, I don't like pointing at people.
Oh, so you've curled your pointer in.
Now
you're using the tip of your thumb.
I'm just pointing at myself. But that's an interesting one. And it does seem to, again, have some cause and effect. Holding up a number to correspond with what you're saying. It might sound dumb, but holding up three fingers when you say the number three makes it more memorable. It really does. That is one. Actually, I remember learning that in high school. And it's something that I kind of.
What if somebody holds up the wrong number?
Then, well, ask Tom Brady, because he did that. I mean, I was going to say, and I only thought of that because I was going to use, obviously, any chance to bring sports into the conversation, I do it. Football players have been doing this since the dawn of football. I mean, it's something that works on the field as well as it works in real life. It's one of those things. Now, again, you have to give the right number. Tom Brady thought it was third down when it was really fourth down. He puts the wrong number up or whatever it was and everything. And it can even happen to Tom Brady, you know. And so anybody can be guilty of these things. Holding your hand over your heart. It can have a big impact if you do it while saying something like, this part's really important to me. I do that with a lot of things in life. And I think, like a lot of us, I learned that from the Pledge of Allegiance. I give a Pledge of Allegiance whenever it is called to. Mm-hmm. And I always put my hand over my heart. Yeah. I know not everybody does that. And especially if you are a veteran or a soldier, I understand saluting. That's a different category.
Oh, sure. But I've always done that, too. That's how I learned it. You know what I mean?
Me
like,
too.
That's
yeah.
just, yeah. and it's just natural.
Yeah. And I'm an adult now. I don't obviously have to do that, but it feels right.
But
it feels right to do.
I've seen people presenting or speaking mm-hmm. or whatever, and when they do share some kind of a heartfelt moment or something, you know, you do see people do that. Like, it's a natural gesture.
I wonder if it stems from that, you know, because we learned so early in school that kind of stuff and everything. But either way, I kind of like that gesture. Like, I feel like that actually works on me, I think, when I see people do that, when it's natural.
Sure.
When it's, you know. Moving both hands up and down like a scale. It's good when comparing two options if it helps people understand the gravity of a decision and tells them a lot of thought went into it. It also seems a little almost like you can't understand this unless I do this hand gesture. Like, I get it, all right? Like, you don't have to give me this. Like,
it's kind of cliche, right?
Yes,
like,
yes,
you have to put it out in front of people.
Cliche, that's the word I was looking for. Like, I kind of get it, all right? I'm 45. I've heard this conversation before. Like, there's certain people, I think, especially younger, like, you know, kids, maybe it might be a lot of these I actually think of kids with, because I think,
like, but you're saying littles, like,
yes,
elementary.
Yes,
like
little
kids.
Little kids, yeah. Because I feel like they're going to hear you more, registers more. We all know that little kids barely hear our voices. JC. Like, no, he's not going to turn around to that. But, hey, JC, and I wave my arm around.
Sure.
Or I tap him on the, you know.
Well, or maybe it just helps them listen.
I went,
you know,
right,
what I mean?
To my son.
I know.
Right,
poor kid. Picking on the boy, too. But you know what I mean? Like, I wonder with kids, does it help them listen because it gives their eyes something to do?
That's good. Yeah, maybe.
I think kind of sounds dumb, but if it keep them engaged, then does it help the listening?
It's still to this day the best way I learn. It's not, you know, this Clearfeed thing this morning. I'm still learning some of this stuff. Chuck gives me a great outline. I need this paper outline he gives me. He knows me well enough to know that. But I also got to be able to see on the screen how this is breaking
right.
down and actually happening and progressing and such. I think you're absolutely right about that. I think for little kids, it just registers more. They learn it quicker or learn it at all.
Or pay attention.
Or paying attention,
yeah.
yes. More importantly, maybe you can't, none of this matters until you get their attention. So I think that's the key point. Holding both hands out with your palms facing up. It tells people you're being open and honest and putting all your cards on the table. I do this at least once a day, probably, and I don't think it has any effect. I generally don't know if it really does. I do it, but I do it, again, organically. All my hand gestures are organic, unless I'm pointing to something.
It's not you sitting here thinking, oh, I'm going to show that I'm open-minded.
Right, yeah,
I mean,
no,
it just is a natural movement.
And I don't know. I kind of feel like that's the catch with a lot of these. That if you're doing it like with, okay, I'm going to give my point, then do the finger point. Like, I feel like it loses its point. I feel like
if it has to be written in your notes.
Yes.
You know, like,
yes.
This is the gesture that you're doing.
Yes. Pause for
smile,
response.
Smile. Don't smile.
Smile. Do hand palms up thing. It doesn't
you know where,
like,
I go right away with the palms up thing. And I do agree with the idea that it's, you know, shows openness and that kind of thing. But for me, I go right to church. Like, mm-hmm. I just think about mm-hmm. the pastor or priest up there, you know,
yeah.
that has a lot of their movement. So that's just where my head goes right away.
Do you have a hand gesture you use the most? I think for me, it is literally just just putting my three fingers together and just talking like this. Basically, a very Italian kind of way. Like, my nana, a lot of the family that I knew from the old country talked like that.
Like,
I think that's where I get it from.
When you hold your hands like that, it reminds me of, like, when people do the kiss. When they
You
know, like that? Like, that's the motion of the hand.
And it is kind of like one of the most stereotypical Italian things there is, but I do it. I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't really pick on that one.
I don't know if I necessarily have just a go-to. Well, I mean, I guess if you ask my kids, they'd probably tell you.
I got a friend. He's the point guy. He points at everything.
I'm not
he
a pointer.
He points at you. He points at this. And it's just kind of like, get them out of here.
Like, stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, stop yeah. it. You've been doing
like,
this
did your Did your mother tell you to not point?
Like 20 years I've known you. You've been pointing at things. I know where things are. I don't need you to point at them. I know. That gets on me a little bit. I don't mind it a little, but it's with every single like thing he's got to do it with.
I notice that I do use my hands a lot. Like, I'm not a sit on my hands kind of person.
No.
But,
no.
but I just, I don't know. I guess I'm not thinking about a go-to.
Well, I wonder, too, and this is, again, a kind of a reach, I think, but I wonder how many, because you and I wouldn't pretend to say that you and I were natural public speakers, that I think we worked at it over the years and kind of got to a place where we were good at it and comfortable with it and everything. I think a lot of the people that are like that are comfortable and do tend to talk with their hands a little bit. I don't know what the correlation is there. I don't know the science of it or anything like that. But in the top of my head, when I think of all the people that I've known, like yourself or anything in my life, they all kind of talk with their hands a little bit. They all are pretty comfortable with public speaking.
Or you think about people who are visibly nervous.
Yeah.
And they're not doing, you're right, they're not doing that. You know, they're
crossing their arms.
Or pockets, or hanging on, you know, to wherever they're,
Sometimes when I'm really, really nervous, I put my hands under my armpits and
you would.
It's a little superstar, little Molly Shannon. So, God help me if you ever actually heard that or
or if he showed up.
Yeah. Oh, that would be pretty cool. That
I'd probably just lock the door. Him in.
Yeah, probably. Me too. Yeah. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. If you are hungry, treat yourself. Get on over there. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Make sure to thank our friends at Misty's who have been a part of things at WFHR for
ever.
Yeah, really have. I mean, yeah,
that's awesome.
I want to say WFHR like started broadcasting, and like 2 seconds later, Misty's was a sponsor. Like, there's great people over there. We appreciate them. Go stop by there and treat yourself. Let's take a look at our list, and I've got two names on here. So, Terry, I need you to work a little bit this morning.
All right,
morning.
Let's do one.
Okay, there we go. That gives us our qualifier, so we can get right into the celebrating, and we want to wish a very happy birthday to Aspen Miller.
Happy birthday.
Aspen, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. And we appreciate whoever sent us your name. That's great. And our qualifier on the list, Corey Knipple.
Happy birthday, Corey.
Corey is the older brother of one of my oldest friends, Aiden. Corey's a great guy. You know Corey. You know what I'm talking about. Wish him a great birthday. Enjoy your day, sir. And again, keep getting us these birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. info@WFHR or james@WFHR. Be sure to send them to us. Get them to us. We want to do some celebrating with you. I'd like to spend more time on these. And this weekend, I was telling one of our guests yesterday at Morning Magazine. This weekend, I heard from another one of our listeners out in Finland this time.
Oh, funny.
Was disappointed because the day that she was listening, she only heard one name on the birthday and anniversary list, and she was a little disappointed by that. We don't want to disappoint our European listeners out there, everybody. We're huge in, you know, Finland and stuff. We got to keep those numbers. It's huge. No, I don't. We just it's fun. We like celebrating with you and everything. Get them to us, everyone. Taking a look at our celebrity list, Blake Lively is 35. Gossip Girl star, and also she was in Edge of Tomorrow and a couple of other movies. She's a good actor. She's married to Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's very good. She's a very good actor. Kel Mitchell is 44. The Kel in Keenan and Kel. Good Burger, a couple of other those things. Like, I mean, I think that there was a lot of people that thought that Kel Mitchell was going to be the big star from the Keenan and Kel thing. And it's kind of turned out that Kenan Thompson has kind of been the big star. He's really turned the SNL gig into a full-time job and been there for at least over 10 years now, where Kel Mitchell kind of fell off a little bit. But I always thought those two were I didn't really watch like Kenan and Kel or all
no,
that
either.
Or stuff. That was my sister's generation more. But what I saw looked pretty talented, looked like pretty good kids. Alexander Skarsgård is 46. Tarzan, he was Tarzan. He was in True Blood. He's been in a couple of other movies. Another one of those actors, I think if you saw his face, you'd know him. But very solid actor. And, Big Shot Rob is 52 today. Robert Horry is 52. Retired NBA role player who managed to hit clutch shots for 7 championship teams.
Isn't that awesome?
So crazy. Not in the Hall of Fame, and I don't know if he really belongs in there, but if there was ever, like, the Hall of Fame, and then there's, like, the guest house. Like, you know, to the Hall of Fame, Robert Horry belongs there. Like, I mean, you hit seven clutch game-winning shots, seven different championship shots for two with the Hakeem Olajuwon's Houston Rockets, three with Shaq and Kobe's Lakers, two with Tim Duncan's Spurs. They had a great career.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. If I'm Robert Horry, and even if I'm not in the Hall of Fame, I feel pretty dang good about my career.
Absolutely.
All I got to do is look at my championship rings, and I'm like, eh, you know what? Man, Hall of Fame's okay, but I got these. I'm good.
And he does have one bare finger, though.
He does. He does.
That is a problem.
Not like Will Chamberlain or Bill Russell. Yeah, some of the others. Yeah. Rachel Ray is 54. delicious celebrity chef. Is the way they describe her here. Oh, now I know who she is. Yeah. It took me a second there.
And she has a lot of cookware. She's like a cookware line, a bakeware, and all of that kind of thing.
She is. She's still pretty popular from what I understand.
Yeah, I don't know if she still has a show. Well, I'm guessing she still has a show. I don't know if it's on, you know, a big network or what it is. But she used to be pretty popular.
I think it was the last time we had a holiday or something, and it was like a Monday we had off or something, because I never have days off. And I was seeing daytime TV for the first time in like years or whatever. I have no idea what's on daytime TV anymore. I have no idea what's on there. You could tell
me. The Price is Right is still there.
Is it good? Yeah. Good. But like, you could tell me anything, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it is. Claudia Schiffer is 52 and still magnificent. The supermodel. One of the early supermodels. Like, before there was just models, and she was one of the ones that changed it to supermodels and that. DJ Terminator X, Public Enemies DJ for a long time, incredible producer and DJ. Blair Underwood is 58. Owen Hall on Quantico, he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, but Blair Underwood was on L.A. Law, I think, back in the day, too, and stuff. Like, that's where he got his break. So, a lot of stuff. Billy Ray Cyrus is 61.
61.
61. His mullet, 30. His mullet is 30.
At least. I mean, because 90, 2000, 2010. I mean, the 80 was, I mean, that was 40 years ago. Yeah, his mullet is 40.
Yeah. Turned quite a bit into one. I mean, I don't know. Terry, did he have more than one hit? Because I know Achy Breaky Heart, but I mean, did he have other hits?
He had a few others.
Okay, all right. So not just one song. Okay.
No.
All right, guys. So
no, like I wouldn't call him a one-hit wonder.
Sure, that's where I was looking for. No. Okay, because country doesn't have as many one-hit wonders as maybe pop or any of the other formats. But there is a handful of guys in there that do that. But I will say, like, if you have a one-hit in country, you can really make like a career out of that. Like it's different than pop music.
Oh, I think it is too.
Pop music, they'll chew you up and spit you out.
And
country
they
music,
they just drop you. Yeah,
country music. Even if like Billy Ray was a songwriter on Achy Breaky Heart, like okay, that's the only maybe he's not getting record contracts, but he's getting songwriting opportunities and that. Nashville, Tennessee, you know, a lot of those areas really make the most out of their artists.
He's got a couple good albums, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, does he? Okay, okay, cool. One of the my favorite directors of all time, Tim Burton, is 64 today. The wonderfully strange director that brought us Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, Michael Keaton's Batman, so many movies. Like I'm a sucker for Tim Burton.
I was just thinking of the Edward Scissorhands. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, I wonder if how that holds up.
Yeah,
still,
like
you know?
If
I'm
it's
curious.
You're like, I think my benchmark is when I show my kids a movie from like when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like how long it takes before they're not interested.
Yeah, yeah.
And even just the cinematography is so different. You know what I mean? Like I don't expect them to appreciate that when they've had you know, the movies that they've had, but it is funny because sometimes I'm like, this is really good. And they're like, this is not good.
Elvis Costello is 68, a great singer-songwriter. Rob Halford is 71, lead singer and songwriter for Judas Priest. Gene Simmons is 73.
Whoa.
The demon, the tongue himself, the drummer and songwriter, not drummer, bass player. Jeez, I got the whole Kiss army after me now.
Yeah.
I actually seen Kiss. They
you
were
better
like,
beware.
When the 96-97 retour that they did, that was like one of my first, like, if not, no, it was really my first real concert. I went and saw them at the Kohl Center in Madison. And I know Kiss a bit. I know, you know, quite a few of their songs and everything. I did work in classic rock for 10 years.
So you should know them, yes.
Right. I had no idea how dang talented those guys were. And I'm not just talking as musicians. I mean as showmen. Like, all four of those guys are great MCs. Like, they could run a show themselves.
Yeah, my husband and brother really like Kiss. Like, they've seen Kiss a few times and seek them out. But, yeah.
And I love how Kiss really kind of came out the gate, let people know who they were, what they were, and they have been able to make like a decades off of their music and what they have done and their fan base that they have. I think you can make the argument that Kiss Army, that fan base, is the most diehard of any music fan base.
It certainly could be. And I think it's cool if they still do full makeup.
Yeah. I do like that. Yeah. That show I saw them in, that 96-97 tour they were doing, obviously older and everything, not that I could tell, between the makeup and them in the same gear and everything and the movements,
yeah,
they might as well have been in their 20s. Like, it was incredible. You got to be in really good shape, especially if you're Gene Simmons with those platform shoes.
Still wearing your leather pants.
He's mopping around all over the place in those things and stuff. Yeah, you got to have some pretty good
practice.
Yeah. Great band. Great relief pitcher. Maybe you can make the argument greatest of all time. Raleigh Fingers is 76. Great pitcher. Maybe greater mustache. No,
it's a toss up.
It's up there. Let's see here. And then some people no longer with us, like Regis Philbin, born in this day in 1931, passed away in 2020. I did not watch a lot of Regis and Kathy, but what I saw, I loved his natural energy.
Yeah.
I really
did. And he was just funny. I mean, he was just lighthearted, maybe, is, you know, but yeah, I didn't watch much of it either.
And, everybody that you see coming after Regis, I forget who they got, Ryan Seacrest, all these guys, all of them, like, it gets your start with Regis. Like, he starts the whole thing with that type of character, that type of thing, and that type of format, the talk show thing and stuff. He really was a master at it. Very, very talented at that stuff. Monty Hall, born in this day in 1921, passed away in 2017. Amazing host of the original Let's Make a Deal. Incredibly good at what he did. A great MC, a great master of ceremonies.
I always think about, that's the one that had the really long skinny microphone,
yep,
right?
Yep.
He'd walk around.
Oh,
yeah.
Monty Hall microphone. Yeah. Yep, it was a Joe Carlin I used to use from time to time. Whenever we had 70s bumper music come up, where's your Monty Hall microphone?
Think about that. That thing had a cord on it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Somebody had to be right on his
How
heels.
How long that cord was? Yeah, he was really good at what he did. And one of the greatest I ever seen do it, Sir Sean Connery, born in this day in 1930, passed away in 2020. Of course, most people you ask, who's your James Bond? They say Connery.
Yeah, I'm probably in there.
Me too. Definitely for me. I'm just a huge fan of his. I think that I wasn't too intrigued by The Untouchables because I didn't like that they cast Andy Garcia as an Italian. And I love Andy Garcia as an actor, but it bothered me. And I wasn't going to watch it. And then, you know, because Kevin Costner's in it too. And I'm like, I'm not going to watch it. I watch it. I couldn't handle Costner. But Sean Connery blew me away. It was fantastic. It was really good. And it's, I only bring that role up, one, because it's a popular movie, but he wasn't the lead actor in that or anything. And I think the thing that stood out to me in that one is when you hear Andy Garcia talk about how he hung with him after on set and worked with him on things, that Connery put so much into the craft. And then when he didn't feel like he could do it at the level that he wanted to anymore, he pulled it out of the public eye. He pulled away. I respect somebody that a lot of actors, and I don't blame this either, there's no retirement plan. There's no 401k for an actor. So you got to keep working. And we make fun of some actors for doing B movies and things like that. But I don't begrudge them of that because it's how you can continue to make a living. We just saw this with Bruce Willis, where Bruce Willis found out a couple of years ago, I'm not going to be able to keep doing this much longer. The only way I can take care of my family financially is to do some B movies. Just get me movies. Let me just keep doing this stuff and everything. I don't begrudge that. But I also have a lot of respect for an actor like Sean Connery that says, I can't do this at the level I used to. My legacy matters to me. I don't want to, you know, deteriorate that. So I want to continue to, you know, I'm just going to pull away from the public eye. And just one of the greats, though. And one more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Aspen Miller and a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Corey Knipple. Enjoy your days and celebrate with our good friends at Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Out Clock. Terry and James here with you. And we're going to, especially as we're coming out of weather there, just let me look at these local temperatures in your neck of the woods real quick. It is 68 in Stevens Point, 66 in Marshfield, 69 in Wausau, and as Jen said, 68 here in Wisconsin Rapids. And as we're coming out of weather, I thought, what better time to get into 10 wacky weather words to add to your vocabulary?
Perfect.
Beyond more common weather terms lies a field of rarely used but humorous monikers to describe the weather around us. Some were just invented, some have been around for hundreds of years, and here are a few of the favorites that we have. The term frog strangler. Frog strangler.
Have you ever heard that before?
I don't know if I could say that on the air. I'm not sure. I think I might have just gotten fired. Yep, the FCC just called. I'm in trouble. Yeah. No, this dates back to 1870. And according to a post on Stack Exchange, almost all the variants of this begin with frog or toad, followed by strangler or choker or drowner, have emerged from southern United States. The term refers to a heavy downpour of rain, apparently capable of strangling frogs, like, they, you know, drowning frogs, yeah. Basically.
That is weird.
That is a weird one, yes. But I actually heard that when I was in Galveston. Like, you better be careful. It'd be frog strangling weather. I heard that. I'm like, I'm just looking at the guy, and he knew I was not from Texas, but he did not tell me what it was meaning. And then we got hit by rain, and I realized I put two and two together, yeah. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
Huh, never heard that.
It's the only time in my life I ever heard it. And I wouldn't have even remembered it if it wasn't for this article. But I can picture that guy as clear as day. Just looking over at me and saying this while we're standing there waiting in line and everything. And I'm like, okay. I had no idea how to respond.
Like,
to
I
it.
Can run fast.
I just nodded like, uh-huh. Although they can breathe underwater, frogs can, in fact, drown. Explained here in this article, there's interesting scientific sidebar. Rainwater contains less oxygen than fresh water that falls to Earth. This could make frogs drown faster. So this is where all this stems from.
Interesting.
One of the most recent additions to the list of wacky weather terms is gorilla hail. Gorilla hail. What is that? Well, we know what gorilla hail is around here.
Yeah, yeah, but our weather people need to catch up, because I've only ever heard it referred to based on size of circumference.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like golf ball size, pea size, yeah, softball size. Like, I've never heard it referred to with an animal term.
This was a term coined on Twitter by extreme meteorologist Reed Timmer. It was at least a meteorologist. Okay. During a Texas storm in April of 2020, the term means what you'd think it means, huge hail. But you're right about this. Now, hot leg hail, a hog leg hail is also a term, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The hog's leg is kind of big. So, yeah, I kind of get that, I guess. What is referred to is also known more simple. There's also one sun shower, a rain shower while the sun is out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a rain shower.
I can bite into that one.
I like that one. Yeah, that's a fun one. Let's see here. Sting jet. That's another one. It does not involve bees or jets or airplanes or anything like that, but it can be an important severe weather ingredient that leads to damaging winds. This meteorological term, popular in the United Kingdom since 2004, a sting jet is a small area of intense winds that can develop underneath low pressure systems, causing extensive wind damage. We don't really deal with that too much around here, but that definitely can be an issue. Let's see here. I'm trying to see where the other one. A rain-wrapped bear's cage. A rain-wrapped bear's cage.
What?
Is a big one in Texas, apparently. According to this article, I've never heard that.
I think they're
one.
All from Texas.
A lot of these are, yeah. The term is more commonly bear's cage. That one gets thrown around. That one you might have heard in the movie Twister. In the movie Twister,
I like that movie.
It was a good movie. They're in the bear cage. They're shouting at one point or something. I can't remember if it was more than once or a couple of times, but I remember that. And that refers to certainly being in the heart of a tornado, being in that.
Okay. You know, so far the only one that I really like is the sun shower. I do like that. It's implied warm. It's got open hands, right?
Like, yes, it does. It has that vibe to it, yeah. Have you ever heard of a storm with feet? Not feet of snow, but rain. When a surge of rain falls out of a thunderstorm and hits the ground, pushes outward onto a footstep, this indicates a microburst that can cause high winds and even crash planes. Although the term rainfoot is not included in any kind of like meteorology book, the paper does have several examples of this phenomenon. So rain foot is what they're talking about, when you're getting foots of rain. I remember had a really good friend of mine, Craig, that lived in Madison, and I spent two summers going out to Madison, like a couple months there. I'd hang out with Craig, and I'd never seen anything like this before. Craig lived in an apartment complex, like 20 stories up or whatever, and we're looking down one morning, and it's just... The rain is up to people's, like, steering, not steering wheels, but, like, to right up to the top of their tire and everything. Sure. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, flooding is, it's crazy how fast, you know, like, when they, yeah. Even when they say, oh, we've got a local, you know, even here, flash flood warning, mm-hmm. and you'll be going and, like, you see standing water on street, you know, I understand the physics of it. The storm drain can't keep up, but it's just weird that
it's still weird.
It rain, you know, it falls from the sky, and then all of a sudden, you're just being overcome by it. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
And it kind of speaks to how dangerous that stuff truly is.
Well, and that you need to be mindful and heed warnings, right?
Don't
be on the side of caution.
Yep.
Not on the side of, well, I don't even know, of dumb.
Yeah, really. Knucklehead. Yeah. Don't, especially because these people that it tells you, okay, you can't cross this road. It's you know, you can't cross.
Oh, don't drive your car through.
What happens, whenever I'm watching the Weather Channel, when these things happen, you always see the couple of cars that do this. And then you got a bunch of firefighters or EMTs or different people that got to go out there and try to save those people because they were knuckleheads.
You know, this happened.
They got other jobs they could be doing.
This was probably, it was probably a while ago, like 30 years ago, but this happened to a friend of ours who was a county deputy and was responding to something, and there had been a horrible storm. You know, there's like a big, for us, I don't know if there was a tornado, but, you know, trees down, water all over, and he was driving on a county highway and was going, you know, lights, responding to something, and here a culvert had washed out, and you couldn't even see it because, like, the night was so black, and he, like, basically was driving and just did a 90-degree drop. I mean, deployed the air pegs, everything, but it is, but they're saying, you know, a lot of times when there's water over the road, they're saying, you know, like, that very well could be what you find, like something, a culvert or something has washed away. So don't risk it.
And finally on this list, at least as far as I can tell, it's one of the last ones, but this might be the last one we do, because this isn't going very far. Turkey Towers.
Oh.
Turkey Towers. Is a tower of just nothing but turkeys. No. Turkey Tower is a
sounds
storm.
Sounds like a sandwich.
It really does. It sounds like something to eat. It does. Is a storm chaser slang for clouds that rapidly build upwards, exhibiting a turkey-like neck. The term was likely invented by storm chasers in the 1980s or earlier. It could be a sign that the atmosphere cap has broken, meaning that strong thunderstorms could quickly develop.
So, okay. All right. Well, maybe in that original tower, the clouds looked like turkeys, but I just don't, get where that comes from. It's kind of odd.
It is. It is kind of odd. Yeah. So I do think that, another great way to measure humidity is by using human hair. The hair hygrometer was invented in the late 1700s, around the time the sling psychometer came into use.
My sister would validate that because she has naturally curly hair. And when it's humid, it's like, you know, goes right up. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of people. I hear that from even some of my team. They're like, ugh, it's so humid. It affects their hair. It must affect yours.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, and I probably don't even notice. I'm probably not paying attention.
The humidity. Yeah.
But it definitely, I'm positive it does.
So
I just don't even know.
Now that we know all these new terms, like tomorrow's weather is going to be like a turkey tower on the gorilla cage with a sun shower. And that'll be it. No explanation.
That's the only forecast I want from here out. I want nothing but jar.
Sorry, Jennifer. We're going to relieve you of your duties.
Yeah. I mean, and I really like Jen. I really do.
I do too. But
I want Dr. Seuss to give us our weather now.
Yeah.
That's what it feels
and
like.
And it doesn't matter
terms.
If you're right. So it's all good. We can still do temperatures.
Yes, we will still cover that. And sun shower. I like sun shower. That is one I want to remember.
Yeah, that's the only one I'm going to remember.
It's a good one. Yeah, probably. Yeah, same here. Same here. This is interesting, Terry. A website called Finance Buzz will pay someone $1,000 to try all of their pumpkin-flavored products at Trader Joe's that they're stocking this fall.
Interesting. Just one person?
Yeah.
I think they should do more people because then you would have comparison.
I agree. Yeah. Now, the job is titled Pumpkin Spice Pundit.
Oh, I could do that. Could you do that?
I could do it.
I like pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't love it. Like, I don't need it year round, but I do enjoy it.
I like it enough for $1,000. Good point. I like it enough for that.
Although, what if it was like pumpkin spice gum?
Ooh, good test. Ooh, that's a good test. I don't know. I don't know about that.
I mean, maybe for $1,000. Unless I had to chew it. Yeah. But what if you had to chew it like the whole time you're awake for like, let's say like 5 days?
Yeah. Blech. I was just trying to think of gross products, and I immediately had pop up in my... I was trying to think of gross products, but that don't actually exist, so I'm not offending anybody. And I was going to say pumpkin spice dog food, and I just realized we're like a year or two away from that. You realize that, right?
Okay.
Like, we're like 2 or 3 years, and our animal food is going to have pumpkin spice in it.
I was just buying dog treats for our puppy.
Oh, no.
And they were like... Yeah, I was kind of looking at like more of like the natural stuff without all the dyes and stuff in it. And the main ingredient in the ones that I bought is pumpkin. And there was no spice.
There's no spice.
But the main ingredient was pumpkin.
Well, pumpkin's great. I love pumpkin. I love pumpkin-flavored things. My favorite pie is pumpkin pie. But favorite? Yeah. Oh, by far and away.
I'll have a little piece like at Thanksgiving, but I don't need to have another piece. Yeah. I mean, I like it, but I don't love it.
I don't know why I do.
Whipped cream on it?
I could take or leave it.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially a homemade pumpkin pie. I just want it straight up. I don't want the whipped cream gets in the way. It makes you look at me different now, doesn't it? Yeah. You need to be 18 or older to apply, and you have to live close enough to a Trader Joe's to shop in person.
I'm guessing
Madison or something like that's the closest one for us. On top of the $1,000, you also get a $500 gift card to buy everything. So none of this is coming out of pocket. That's kind of cool. And this does seem like a part-time gig, obviously. It doesn't seem like something to quit your job or like your job of 20 years. You're like, I'm out of here. Yeah, I'll see you guys. They're like, yeah.
If you could quit your job for $1,000, I mean, you've been doing something right.
Yeah, yeah. You'll have from September 2nd to the 18th to try it all and review each item. If you're interested, you've got until Sunday to apply at financebuzz.com. That's all one word, financebuzz.com.
Interesting. I think I could do anything sweet pumpkin spice. You know what I mean? Like desserty or even like a salad. I mean, I could envision like a cold salad, you know, like one of those fluffy salads that has pumpkin spice flavor. But what if it was like pumpkin spice fajitas or something?
Yeah.
I think I would throw up.
That might be a little different. Yeah.
But what if?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Would you still go for the $1,000?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I would. Because, again, I work in radio.
What if it was $100?
Oh, $100?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
Just making sure.
I will say I do have a line. I wouldn't say that you can't buy me, but it's not easy. It's not easy to.
It's more than $100, people.
It's going to take more than a gift card. It's going to. I can be bought, but I'm expensive.
That's right.
I'm kidding.
He's not.
I wanted to touch on a couple of other things here, too. This one, I think, is kind of interesting, actually, Terry. I don't take a lot of pills. I don't like pills. I don't even like really taking Tums or aspirins or anything like that. But when I do take them, one of the things I notice is how quickly they affect me. You know, like most people will tell you, if you take something on an empty stomach, it's going to hit you faster than if it doesn't. Or if you do have
or might upset stomach. Your stomach. Even.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing how much we're still learning about the human body. Like, if you're taking a pill and want it to kick in faster, try lying on your right side when you take it. It should hit your bloodstream a lot faster that way.
Really?
Yeah. A new study at Johns Hopkins, who know their stuff.
Credible source, yeah.
Looked into this. And in general, pills start to dissolve and absorb a little bit through the lining of your stomach. But it almost mostly happens through the lining of your intestines. So how fast they get there matters. Our bodies aren't symmetrical down there. And it turns out the way you're lying, sitting, or standing makes a big difference when it comes to where the pills settle.
Make it move faster. Or you see a lot of like your over the counters are gel caps now instead of tablets, and I wonder if that they just dissolve faster in the stomach.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like that liquid gets out and into your bloodstream faster. That's interesting.
They end up the closest to your intestines when you're on your right side. Taking them while you're standing or sitting up straight is also okay. Lying on your back isn't quite as good.
What about if you're standing on your head?
I mean, oh, come on. Yeah, what about that one? Science, huh? And it's a good question. And lying on your left side is by far the worst. So make sure you know you're right from your left.
Must get hung up somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Like, because I would have thought standing up or I would have thought sitting down would have been the worst way to do it. It turns out that that's fine.
But picture your stomach, right? Mm. Remember, like, what a stomach looks like. Mm-hmm. So do you think probably the bigger side with that connects to your intestine maybe is what is to the right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, maybe the narrower side, like the incoming side is to the, I don't know.
Who was the guy when we were kids? He had the body suit and you could see inside.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Goodbody?
Mr. Goodbody. That's what it was. Yeah. Mr. Goodbody. I couldn't think of it for whatever. That's exactly what I picture when you just said
okay,
that.
Okay, so they have, like, at the elementary schools, well, they used to before like when we were kids. Do you remember the model of, it was probably like from the thigh up to the, well, there was a head.
Yes.
And, like, the organs came
out. You could
out.
Pull them out and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, probably like 6 years ago or something at school, they were getting rid of this stuff at my kids' elementary school. And I'm like, huh, what are you doing with that? They're like, garbage. I'm like, I want one of those.
Oh, yes. Oh,
so I have one of the full. Well, it's kind of fun for Halloween, but it's also kind of fun when you're looking for. Recently, one of the girls had to do something in one of their biology classes, and I think they had to draw like a spleen. And I'm like, well, we have one downstairs. Let's go pull it out and look at it, you know? But it's very interesting.
I get why they might have pulled those out of classes, as far as, like, you know nowadays with everything that we have online and stuff, the accessibility. But I, again, going back to, we were talking before about touching and being able to get your hands on something. I think you learn better a little that way.
Well, and understanding, I mean, yes, you can get plenty of 3D imaging. I get that online. But to actually understand how your organs sit in your body,
yes,
like how they fit, because you pull all those out and then they only go back in one way.
I learned that from the Mr. Creepy Goodbody.
come on. What is wrong?
It was a little creepy, though.
What is wrong with spandex that has organs all over it? What is wrong with that?
Is there anything that screams more 80s than spandex?
I mean, what do you think the generation before us thought of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Nice callback. Nice. Nicely done. A pill might only take 10 minutes to start working if you're on your right side. But if you're standing, the same pill will take around 23 minutes to kick in. And if you're on your left side, it could take up to an hour and 40 minutes.
Is this just really a reason to stay in bed longer? I mean, because I'm on board.
Thanks, John Hopkins. Yeah. Hey, I got to stay in bed at least 20 minutes here. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's not going to work if I don't. I go to talk to John Hopkins. I don't want to lay in bed longer.
I still have to take the pill at 7 a.m. It has to be at the same time, but I'll just be laying here longer.
I really find that quite interesting.
I think it is, too.
I'll be honest, too. If it wasn't from John Hopkins University, I don't know how much I'd really...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But they don't do... I rip on science all the time about this. Why are you wasting your time on this subject or what have you? John Hopkins doesn't do that.
If they do, you sure don't hear about it.
Very true. Yes. Yeah. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back with a bunch of fun stuff we have got lined up for you. We're going to get into, do you have a celebrity doppelganger? People are sharing the things that they silently judge others for. I got a couple of interesting ones there.
Do you give it up to the person or do you just give it up in general?
That's a good question. All that coming up for you right here on Mornings on WFHR.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids 13. 13-